He said, I believe. He said, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. I believe. He said he took my infirmities and diseases upon himself. I believe. He said all things are possible to him or her who believe. I believe. He said nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I believe. Make your confessions every day. You will see the power of confessions. And your faith will just keep growing and growing and growing. And you will be counted along with believing Abraham. Amen? All those who do night shift looks to be wide awake. We'll go to the second part and then we will pray. Then you get your promise cards and you get the promise. It's hiding there against the wall, the promise for this year. You get your diaries, you get your calendars. Even the little ones will get their little diaries, okay? Nobody will be exempted. Even Lemuel Agel will get a diary. Because the way she looks at you like a philosopher, in 3 months' time, she will start taking notes. The second part. In the Old Testament, there's a cluster of prophets who are called minor prophets. They're not minor. We call them minor. And some of them are pretty major. And nestled among them is the book of Joel. 3 chapters, 73 verses. Though if you read the book of Joel without understanding, it looks like God is speaking to Israel. But it has more prophetic implications actually for the church. So now listen carefully. Because the first half was about building our faith. Second half is about what to expect in 2025. In the first 12 verses of the first chapter of the book of Joel, if you look in Israel's perspective, you see judgment coming from God through the enemy that is released. God allows. It's terrible judgment. Terrible judgment. Then from verse 13 and 14, there's a cry, a call for fasting, for crying out to God. In verse 13 and 14, gird yourself and lament, you priests. Wail, you minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth. You who minister to my God, for the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to your God. That's told to Israel. But looking at it in our perspective, we went through 7 days of fasting, and today we have gathered, all of us have gathered here. And this cry goes all the way till chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. So rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows? If you will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. So over and over and again, we call, hear this cry to turn, consecrate a fast. In verse 15 and 16, the word says, blow the trumpet in Zion, in the new covenant realm where the church is called Zion. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify thee. What was the theme of yesterday's message? Consecrate, sanctify, assemble the elders, gather the children, and even the nursing babies. The nursing babies are at the back, but even they are called. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from the dressing room. Everybody is called. Everybody is called. So I want to encourage you. I cannot command you. I have to encourage you. Make it a practice to practice fasting as a discipline in 2025. Make it a practice. It's a very good godly discipline. Especially as the coming of the Lord is getting nearer and nearer. So once you have these two chapters with these verses, to cry, to consecrate, to cry out to the Lord fast, look at the response of God. The response of God is in verse 18 and 19. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. Okay. This is God's response. Okay. He says, you do what I say. He said, I believed. You choose to do what he has said. He says, this is what I will do for you. I'll be zealous for you. I'll be zealous for you. I will send you grain and new wine. We do what he tells us to do. And he will do what he promises to do. Please remember, it also will be a season of intense spiritual warfare. And be ready for that. In verse 20 it says, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away in a barren and desolate land with his face towards the eastern sea and his back towards the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Now we know what it means to Israel. That's not what it means to us. Because we do not fight physical enemies. We fight spiritual enemies, and you will know. In spiritual warfare, when you actually get into it, into the casting of demons, if you have experience, you will see, you'll get the smell of sulfur. The Bible, it's called brimstone. Sulfur. Because that's what they smell like. Foul odor. Okay? You don't have to be scared. They're more scared of us than you are scared of them. He said, we believe. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Do not, if you don't want to be afraid, you need to keep confessing that. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. You shall trample upon snakes and scorpions, and they shall by no means harm you. Very soon, the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet. These signs shall follow those who believe. They shall cast out demons. Be prepared. Even the youngest one here can cast out if you believe. Because the power is not in you. The power is in his name and what you believe. What you believe. So be prepared. You need to fight this. Stand steadfast in faith and resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Is what 1 Peter 5:9 says. So everywhere the promises given to us about the enemy is, we have power over him. God is not going to do this. We need to do this. Every tongue, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Every lying tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Not me. You. He says, you do it. You do it. Learn how to fight. It's called a good fight of faith. Learn. Don't let him walk over you in 2025. It'll be intense. If you want the blessings God has promised, you need to break down some gates. Okay, he will resist, thinking you don't know how to fight. Learn to fight. Then to his people in 21, he will say, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. Fear not. That's a negative. What should you do? What you should not do? Do not be afraid. What should you do? Be glad and rejoice. You should do both. Okay? I'm not afraid, but I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad. I will sing. I will sing. He repeats that again in verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice, in the Lord your God. Why should I rejoice? Because he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former and the latter rain in the first month. Now the question is, for what purpose? What purpose is he giving me the rain? So that we can have a bountiful harvest. That's verse 24. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. The vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. Okay. Now all this has got, doesn't have much to do with Israel. It's got to do with the church. Okay. Please understand, for 2000 years, the church has plowed. It has planted. It has reaped. But I believe, because he said, there is going to be a harvest of souls starting this season like never ever seen in the world. In Revelation 14:13, he says, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. What is their labor? What is their works? Why are they blessed? The next verse says, then I looked and behold a white cloud. On the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he sat on the cloud, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. What happens there happens here. This is a season of harvest. People of all kinds will come in like never before. The ones in your families who have resisted the gospel for years and years and years, believe 2025 is the year. The season is beginning in God's calendar. This is the end. This is the end. In Joel 2 and verse 32, he said, it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be, there also will be deliverance in the churches. The demonic oppression will start leaving. Demons will leave. People will start, God's people will start experiencing liberty. He said, I believe. Captives will be set free. Remember, Jerusalem, Zion represents the church. In Joel 2, 28 and 29, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. What the world saw, the beginning of the church age in the first century, was just the beginning. But this time, it's not going to be like that. It will be double the impact. Because in 2:23 he said, be glad then you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. That happened 2000 years ago. But he will cause the rain to come down for you, both the former and the latter rain together. Okay? Apostle James saw this. So he will write in his epistle in chapter 5, therefore be patient, brethren, when? Until the coming of the Lord. See, what happens when the Lord is about to come? The farmer, as the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. Okay? For those who understand the heart of God is for souls. Those who understand, I want to be a witness. I want to win souls. In my office, in my school, in my college, whatever place you are, I just want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. There will be no lack of resources from God. If we align our hearts with the purpose of God, Joel 2:24 says, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. Haggai saw it this way in Haggai 2 verse 7 and then 9. I will shake all the nations and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord God of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord God. The oldest book in the Bible, they say, is the book of Job. The book of Job is not about Job alone. It's the story of a man. It's the story of the church. Job started victorious. Then he went through a season of persecution and poverty. But he stood till the end firm on faith. And then God restored him. He turned his mourning into dancing. And turned his captivity around. Why is Job mentioned by James? In James 5, 10 and 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. The church, like Job, started victorious. And then it went into a season of persecution and poverty. But in the last days, because a rising generation, a believing generation will rise, who will believe on that hill, the provision was made. Men and women and children of faith will arise and make full provision of the atonement that was made. These signs shall follow those who believe, he said. You have to believe. You have to believe. Wherever you are working, wherever God has placed you, set yourself apart for God and see what he will do. Because the end is close. His coming is near. And there is going to be a harvest. Blessed are those who are part of that harvest. Remember the parable of the wedding feast? In Luke 14, verse 16 and 17, a certain man gave a great supper, invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are ready. And verse 18 says, but they were all with one accord began to make excuses. Began to make excuses. Do you know what the master told his servants in verse 21? So the servant, he said, go. The servant came to the reported these things to the master. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. You know what Isaiah said about this in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Did you see last week and the week before the two meetings Pastor Ramesh organized? Did you see how that hall was packed with beggars? What do you think if the money that is invested in a normal church to keep the people comfortable is invested in them for 4 Sundays, 8 Sundays, they will all believe and get baptized and come out? A time is coming where he will say, go to them. Go to them. The ones who are invited are making excuses. Go to them. Go to them. In verse 22 and 23, the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. He says, go everywhere and compel them to come. We are coming to that point of view, that we will point of time where we will see people just getting into the kingdom of God. You know why? Because in verse 17, what did he say? Come, for all things are now ready. Heaven is set. Heaven is ready. But there are lots of seats empty. And the last day's harvest is to fill all those seats. Luke 13:29, God said, they will come from east and west, from the north and south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. He said, do you believe? This is not about us. This is not just even about our church. This is about the church. If you believe, he said, that you align your hearts and your minds with my end time purpose, you will lack no resources. Joel 2:24 says, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with. That's the promise. That's the promise for 2025. For those who believe, there's going to be an overflow. There's going to be an overflow. Align your hearts and minds with God. Align your hearts and minds with God. There is going to be an overflow. Remember, 2 days back, we looked at the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus looked at the multitude and said, let us feed them. This is what Philip said. Philip answered, said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Every one of them may have a little. That's our mindset, little. But by the time Jesus finished with them, in verse 11 it says, they ate as much as they wanted. And then it was still flowing. There was an overflowing. Do you believe? If you believe this provision is for your personal treasury, it will happen. This is for the kingdom. This is for the kingdom. For 12 months we preached about the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God said, all these things shall be added unto you. And he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and the end shall come. And the time has come. He will say, compel them. Compel them. A lot of people will not even know why they got saved. They were compelled by the Spirit. They will just get in. All the resources the church needs, there'll be no shortage if the purpose is right. The demonic will be able to do nothing. That's why the first part of the message, you need to realize this was only falling into place for me only in the last 3 days, though the promise was given over a month back. I don't know, I'm not very sure whether I was here or worshiping or praying or preaching, suddenly dropped into my spirit that one word, overflow. One word, overflow. And then I went through the entire scripture and connected in this context, there is only one verse in the entire Bible about overflow. And it said 2025. And I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody till today. Yesterday I told Pastor Eric, Pastor Robin. Today I told Pastor Vijay. And then, before I came, My wife called. I was at the office. She was at home. She started praying. She kept on saying, the book of Joel, overflow. I said, because you said it, I shall send it to you. The gates are going to come crashing down. The gates will come crashing down. All those gates. But you have to fight. You have to break them open. Kick them open. In Psalm 23 verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. They will stand and look, but they cannot do anything. That's what God told Israel as they were crossing the Red Sea. Stand and see the deliverance of the Lord. Your enemies can't do anything. In the presence of our enemies who blocked your blessings for years and years and years, He will start preparing that table. You anointed my head. There's an anointing that is coming that will make the cup overflow. Believe and prepare for that anointing. It will make that cup overflow. For the cup to overflow, there is an anointing. And you have to believe. You said, I believe my cup will overflow. My cup will overflow. And he says in the next verse, goodness and mercy shall surely follow me all the days of my life. You know, in Exodus 33 and verse 18, when Moses said, can I see your face? God's answer was this. Please show me your glory. And in verse 19, he said, yeah, can I have it? He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Need to believe. There is going to be an overflow of God's goodness. You know what it means? Even the most hard-hearted among you will start becoming good to others. That's what it means. You who could never forgive anybody is able to forgive even the worst thing done to you. That's an overflow. You need to believe. That was Jesus. Full of mercy. Full of goodness. Woman caught in adultery, dragged before him and says, has anyone condemned you? No, I also don't condemn you. Go. Zacchaeus, come down. Full of compassion. Full of mercy. This is what happens when the cup overflows. That you will be shocked. Others will be shocked. That one, forgive? That one, merciful? That one was kind, compassionate. Believe for real things. Real things. God told he will make his goodness pass before him. But the psalmist says, it will follow me all the days of my life. And God tells us today the promise is, it will overflow. It will overflow. You will become what God always intended you to become. You know what he intended us to become? Like Christ. Do you know what is written about Christ in John 1:16? Out of the fullness we have received grace upon grace. Believe you will be full of grace, a gracious people. A people, when they open their mouth, it will be grace. Let grace be poured upon your lips. When you speak from this year, your manager will be shocked. Your colleague should be shocked. And the people who are sent to arrest Jesus came back and said, no man spoke like him. You have to believe. This is not us. This is him working through us. This is what the anointing does. Not only does it break the yoke, it also empowers you to be something else. He anoints my head and my cup runs over. You'll have an overflow of mercy. In Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And you will become like him, showing the exceeding goodness and kindness to others. Because we are his witness. He has no other witness. We are called to be his witness. So you need to look at conforming to his image. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Personally, you have the supernatural, universal thing is that there is going to be harvest, for there is no resources. But there is a personal thing. To be conformed to his image, I need resources. He said there will be no shortage of mercy. There will be no shortage of grace. There will be no shortage of goodness. The threshing floor will be full. The vats will be full. No shortage. You will be able to love like God intended you to love others. That is how restoration takes place. You know, everybody wants restoration in marriages and homes and all. How does it take place? When you learn to love like God loves us. You know why Peter was restored after he betrayed Jesus 3 times? Only one question. Do you love me? Do you love me? In Ephesians 3:17-19, this says that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in, it will overflow. Believe, I will be a loving person. It doesn't matter what others is. Love is kind, suffers long, and is still kind. I will be that person. For that, the resources are there. The cup will overflow. Because the problem is, whenever you hear about the cup overflowing, everybody thinks about Dabbu. What are you going to do with Dabbu? Dabbu restores your family? It won't. It's love that brings restoration. Look at the next. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the, let your cup overflow. Let each one be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. There's no answer. The world has no answer to this. That is what will bring all these people into the kingdom. That is what will compel people to come in. We don't have much time left. We don't have much time left. We have a window of opportunity. We have a window of opportunity. So in Joel 2:24, he says, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and with what? You will be healed. You will have the anointing. You will have resources. You know what the next verse is? I will restore the time you lost in 2024, 2023, 2022, 2021, the years you wasted. Remember the message 2 days back? The waste, I'll give it back. If you understand my purpose, I'll give it back. Do you know why construction of houses in all cities, most cities, take a long time? It is not that they cannot be built fast. It's because the money is not coming. If you get a contractor and you have the land and the permission and tell him how much it will cost, and he says 5 crores, he says take it here, he'll finish in 6 months and give it to you. In 2025, starting 2025, to finish the work of God outside and to finish the work of God inside, there will be no shortage of resources. No shortage of resources if you believe. No shortage. And all of us who have wasted years, he said, I will give you that time back. What happened in Joel 1, he says, I'm giving you time back. Like I said, he's the only one who can do that. Only one who can do that. He can give time back. And he can make the glory of the latter house greater than. You have to take it personally. What I was in the beginning and what I was at the end won't be the same. I'll be better when I finish. When I finish. Go to Genesis. Listen to an old man. This is Genesis 49. And verse 26. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Who are his ancestors? Isaac, Abraham, the big names, Noah, Seth, Noah, Enoch, Abel. He says, I've surpassed all of them. Is that how he began? No. Nobody would have given him even the benefit of doubt the way that guy began, that he would finish this way. So don't look at your beginning. Don't look at your past years. Opportunities, like they say, comes once in a lifetime. 2025 is a year like never before for the church and for us personally. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. There'll be no shortage, absolutely not a shortage. The Bible says, threshing floors shall be full of wheat. Do you know what happened in the threshing floor? Judgment took place. All the chaff was removed. And here it says, only wheat is left, what God can use. There's no chaff there. It's over. It's gone. All the chaff in us has been removed. Only wheat is left. And what about the vats? It shall be full of new wine and oil. He said, I believe. Do you believe? Not now. When you go from here. As you start going from here, other voices will start saying, what happened to 2024? Did you enter into his rest? What happened to 2023? You still believe? Know what it says about Abraham? Read against hope. Against, you have to read that. Powerful. Romans, because if you are the child of Abraham, then you need to believe with believing Abraham. Verse 17, 4:17 onwards. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Let me ask you this question. Anybody sitting here, whichever way you want to look at it, materially, spiritually, is anybody's threshing floor full? Is anybody's vat full? Because those things that are not as they are. Do you believe? That's what he did. He called him Abraham. When he was 99 years old, you are the father of many nations. And he's got a kid, 13 years old, of another woman. And his wife is barren. And God says, you are father of many nations. You know what he says in verse 18? Who, contrary to hope, In hope, believe. There are two hopes. One is a natural hope. I am young. My wife is young. We can have a baby. That's a natural hope. Contrary to hope, in hope, believe. There's a hope that comes from faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things. So from that day, anybody asked him, what's your name? This man said, my name is Abraham. They said, what? What's your name? Father of many nations. How old are you? 100. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And what the Bible says in 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. So don't be weak. Don't look at your past. Don't look at your resume. Don't look at your age. Don't look at your qualifications. It may look dead for the purposes of God. So he did not look. Consider his own? Yeah. Yeah. Let me have 19 back. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah. So he did not consider that at all. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for. Did you see how many places different aspects of faith is mentioned and saying that was according to him as righteousness? In 15:6, it is said it's accounted. Here it says it is accounted. Now he's 99 years old. Genesis 22, it is written, it is accounted. So every time you believe God, God calls you righteous. You're a righteous man. You're a righteous woman. You were there on 1st of January. You heard the promise. You looked at yourself and said, this is not possible for me, but I believe. Against hope, I have hoped because the one who promised is faithful. You know what immediately happens? If you have spiritual ears in your spiritual bank account, there is a deposit saying righteous. Credited into your account the righteousness of God. You know what is happening? He's growing from righteous to righteous to righteous to righteous. What is he doing? Believing what God says. This is a promise for this year. Now when I stand here and preach to you, I look back the past days, I see everything falling into place. The messages for the fasting and prayer. The song he gave me 2 days back. The first session's message. Everything is starting to fall into place. It's taking a picture. God is going to do something this year. And if you believe, receive it. He will restore. He will give it back. He will. In your personal situations, you have to believe. You have to believe. Maybe you had 15 years of a terrible marriage. And you are miserable. But he can restore it back. All those lost years. He can compress and give you 1 year of awesome marriage. And you will forget it all. He can give it back. That's what it means to restore. 13 years of prison. 13 years of slavery. 13 years of pain, sorrow and hardship. In one shot, he lifted him there and not set him free. Raised him to the highest place that he doesn't even remember that. He calls his first son Ephraim and the second one Manasseh, saying, I have forgotten all my troubles. Why? God restored it to him. He took away all the years the locust had eaten. That's what God does. That's what you have to believe. And what you believe, you have to confess. I believed, therefore, I spoke. He believed. He said, I believed. And if you believed, you have to say what he said. You have to say what he said. Amen? We'll close. Unless you want me to go till 2 o'clock. We'll close. You'll get your promise cards. Okay, so as I pray, we'll stand up and I'll pray. And then I want the volunteers to come. you can take the promise cards. And by the way, we have beautiful, the two sets of promise cards. These are promise cards which are printed. And then we have handmade promise cards made by Preeti. They are beautiful. Okay, handmade promise cards made by our sister Preeti. So you can pick whichever you want. Okay, but let's pray. Let's stand up. Father, this evening, morning, evening, new day, we stand before you. Your word says all your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You said, we believe. And I pray for each one listening here online. Let them apply the promise to their personal lives. In their personal situations, in their life, in their home. That they can truly be a witness for Christ Jesus and be conformed to his image and be a witness to many, O God. He anoints my head and my cup overflows. The threshing floor will be full of wheat. The vats will be full of new wine and oil. Not old wine, new life. The life Jesus came to bring will start flowing into many, starting today. It has already started in many. It's a new life. It's a life that overcomes. The enemy has no answer to it. Many gates will be broken. I take authority in the name of Jesus and we break down those gates that have stood against your people. Holding back finances which they need. I pray 2025 all will be out of debt. 2025 all will learn to live without sickness. 2025 you will restore relationships. 2025 the unsaved, the hardened hearts will melt and they will come through. Because the anointing is there. The resources from the king and his kingdom is here. If you believe, all things are possible to him or her who believes. And I pray, Father, everyone will grow in faith. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Walk in faith. Be a witness and a testimony of God. This is not about our church. This is about your kingdom. Our young men and old men, our young girls and old women, all will see visions and dreams. And they will believe what they see. Abraham saw and he believed and it was credited into him as righteousness. And I pray your people will start seeing a God. Oh, I bless them in your name. May the hand of God rest upon each person, each family here. May your hand rest upon each one through this year. And like the psalmist said, help us to believe and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of God forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Even as the promise cards go, Lord, I pray, Lord, each one will get the promise you have for them. And they will believe. And they will confess. He said, I believe. This is a year of faith. This is a year of harvest. This is a year God will do great and mighty things in and through us and in our midst. You said, and we believe, O God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Once again, Lord, we stand in your house. We lift up holy hands. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name, O God. And we declare Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Have an awesome year.